Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the pre-season Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano. We still have no Paddo, but he is nearing his return. But in the meantime, we have Peter from Nerds for Life Supercoach. Welcome, Peter.
Hello. Thank you for having me again. Big episode. We're talking about the big boys. And and you've given me a bombshell just before the episode. You've just like you've just dropped something right in front of me. It's exploded. It's burning. I need to talk about it. And I wanted to start the podcast before we chatted about it. But anyway, you continue. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we'll talk about him second. But there's a reason why I was anyway. Well, there's two. We'll start on the rucks. We'll get right into it. There's two Uber rucks that we're talking about. One's Maxi Gawn in 17% of teams, and one is Tristan Cherry in 56% of teams. So they're both pretty evenly priced. Gawn is 669K. Cherry is 646K, obviously one of the two being more popular. But what we were talking about just before is that I have taken, and this is just to experiment, but there's a reason behind it. I have taken Tristan Cherry out of my team, and you flipped your shit at me.
I did.
Yeah.
Because did you see his score? He scored 141 Supercoach last week, he lost the ruck battle to Matt Flynn. So imagine if he won the ruck battle. Okay. Like, his score would have been completely rucked.
So hear me out. And this is from Supercoach Scout, mind you. And this is why I started changing my team a little bit.
All right.
So Supercoach Scout has done a lot of research into this. So upon closer inspection, like last year, right? After the bye, Cherry averaged 131, fucking monster. While pre-bye, it was 107. He said only 107 Supercoach Scout. But the reason I'm looking into it, he goes, a closer look reveals, and this is all Supercoach Scout research, and I'm like, holy shit, this is good. A closer look reveals the reason for this. His softer opponents and favorable fixture post-bye. So that's where he faced Bailey Williams twice, Tim English twice, who is very favorable ruck matchup, Tom DeConing, Sam DeConing, Lloyd Meek, Toby Nankervis, and the Gold Coast Suns, which had no Jared Witts. And then when you contrast this with pre-bye, he faced off against the likes of Gawn, O'Brien, Grundy, Witts, the Big O, Essendon, who we know actually are quite a hard matchup with rucks because they like to double down on their rucks and they like to negate. And then the other negating ruck being Darcy Cameron. So that's as challenging as it really gets as a ruck. So he had 107 pre-buy, 131 post-buy, but he faces Tim English in his very first game in round one. We'll get a massive spike score there because, as we know, Tim English, like, he gets all of his ball around the ground, hit outs are a bonus. He'll fucking ragdoll him. But then, once I get into it a little bit more, Tristan Cherry then has Maxi Gawn. Not a favorable matchup for him. And then he goes in and he has Riley O'Brien. Again, not a favorable matchup for him. And then he goes up against Brody Grundy. Another non-favorable matchup for him. Then he goes up against the Suns. Jared Witts loves playing against him. Not a favorable matchup for him. Then he goes up against TDK. And to be honest, TDK is a favorable matchup for him. And then he goes up against Jordan Sweet, and Ivan Soldo, which will be a favorable one. So the first five rounds, four of those first five rounds are not actually favorable for him. And I'm thinking he's priced at what? What was he priced at? I just said before.
645.
646, really. He's priced at 646. If he averages 105 in that span, he loses money.
Does this mean you're starting someone in, I'm assuming you're R2 or R1 that you believe is a stepping stone to Cherry later, because from rounds 10 onwards, things start to really open up for him. So you've got Richmond, Collingwood, I know, is negating. West Coast, just an absolute basket case. Round 14, you got Fremantle. It depends which ruck combo you go down. The Blues against TDK, yes. But Hawthorn and the Dogs, he scored big scores against. He also averages well against Geelong and St Kilda and Richmond again, who he faces in those final few games. So his run home is really good. So, you might not want him early, but you're going to want him in the long run.
I'm actually considering just going straight out Tim English.
Tim English.
Now, hear me out. Tim English, and you, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, Pete. You know how I like me some discounted primos?
Yes. Yes, I'm aware.
2023, 23 games played. Timmy English averaged 128.
Oh, he's a god. He's an absolute god player when he's up and running. But he
And
hasn't had the best preseason.
that season, he had three sub 100 scores of 88, 90, and 99. Like, I'm looking at 2025 being bounce back seasons for so many different players.
Oh, I agree.
2024 wasn't his greatest. Look, he was a bit up and down. He started the season hot, got that 58 in round five, but then went 114, 134, 135. And then he was a bit up and down because Bevo, being Bevo, was just a bit weird with him. Like, started playing, I think, key forward at one stage. And then, yeah, I don't know. But from all accounts, he's just going to be solo rucking. So I can see him playing a lot better this year. And I know he had that interrupted preseason, but I don't think it's going to matter too much.
The interrupted preseason is the only thing that is bothering me personally. I don't know, there's just something there that I'm just not a fan of. But before that's the thing. Before he had that injury and he was put on the, we're not doing this in order from what I'm assuming.
Yeah,
I'm guessing we're just talking.
we're still on Gorn and Grundy, technically.
We're
We're still on those two.
still on those two. So he. There's something that bothers me about a player that hasn't had the best preseason. Now, this is a guy, I just want to point this out, okay? He did play against Lloyd Meath this weekend. He did have 88% time on ground. So he actually did okay on the ground. And he had 14 disposals. He didn't turn up in AFL fantasy from what I can see here. And the hitouts, did he win it? He just lost the hitouts,
Lloyd
okay?
Meek is a negating ruck too, though.
It is a negating ruck, yes, but a 14 disposal game isn't screaming picnic. Like, do you know what his Supercoach score was from the
No.
day? Neither do I. So I'm going to see if I can find that while
Hang
we.
on.
There was a part of me that was just hoping that you did.
Oh, no. God, no. God, no.
While I look it up, I just, there's something about, and that's the thing, there's
Got
something that I
82.
like to look at for preseason. And that is guys that are just, oh, did you say 82?
82, yep.
And 82. It's not terrible. It's not terrible, but it's not like amazing.
You got 99 AFL fantasy.
99 AFL fantasy. I found that. But if you look at his first few games, he's got Tristan Cherry right off the bat, who he scored a whopping 70 against last year. Then you've got Collingwood, who is a negating ruckman, as we know, with Darcy Cameron. But in saying that, his last two games have been 130 plus, so let's not count that. The Blues are actually not a good matchup for him. His last three games have all been below 100, and that includes that 2023 season that he went absolutely nuts. Then he's got Freo, which actually could be tough because Darcy could potentially be back at that point. You got Brisbane, who's not a horrible matchup for him, and St Kilda as well. But I just feel like all of his big games are at the back end of the year too. But you are paying significantly less. Yes, you're paying 84 grand less than Tristan Cherry for possibly a similar
60,
result.
64 grand less.
64 grand, sorry,
It's
64 grand
not a
less.
huge amount, but it could be the difference between upgrading your midfield or your defense. Anyway, we'll go back to the actual run
The
sheet. So we
order.
had Gorn at
Yeah, oh, God. Yes,
69K.
right. Yeah.
So Maxi Gorn in 17% of teams, I honestly thought it'd be a bit more.
I think he's too expensive. I
That's
don't
true.
see Melbourne having a good year. I really don't. He's a great, like, Gorn's a great player, but there's only so much he can do. He's now entering his, well, no, sorry, he's entering his mid-30s. Though Track and Oliver on fire, so he does get a lot of hitouts to advantage through them, I suppose. I mean, I don't hate the pick, but who's got the cash to splash for someone who's about as old as Ned Kelly and looks like him too?
Okay, we've already discussed Tristan Cherry. He's in 56% of teams. I understand why people have him. Like, he's been in my
Safety.
team pretty much all preseason, and the only reason why I took him out was, to be honest, for English or TDK, who we'll talk about a bit in a little bit.
Just say or TDK. Does that mean you've got another ruckman? Who are your rucks?
No, well,
actually.
I had Cherry in English, then I had Cherry and TDK, and now I've got English and TDK.
Okay. I've looked at my
But
team like that and I
there
don't
is
hate
one
it.
at 24% that I might be bringing
Okay. All right. Let's continue down the
in.
list. Let's wait. You said 24%. Hang on, hang on,
Yeah,
hang
look at
on.
it. You'll be like, oh no.
24. I knew it. I knew it. Look, I've been tempted with it too because it frees up so much cash. Anyway,
Right,
continue down the list.
move
Continue
on.
down the list.
Toby Nankivis, 594K, 3% of teams. This dude has actually entered and exited my team as well because honestly, I think this is the fittest I've ever seen him. Paddo chimed in this preseason and said it's the fittest he's ever seen Nank. He reckons that Nank's going to have a hectic year. Looks like he's just playing for fun and scoring for fun.
Sole captaincy. I actually really like this pick. I have actually been tossing between him and Cherry all preseason, as well, to be honest. You're saving 50 grand, 51 grand, almost 52 grand, actually, sorry, if you do pick him, which I don't hate. He's Richmond's number one ruckman. That's not
Yeah,
changing anytime
no.
soon. He's got a really good record against the Blues, not the best record against Port, but St Kilda should be a decent matchup for him too, especially if Boyd's playing, maybe. Their matchups are, that's the thing. He's still got, the Darcy pick. His matchup's probably a little bit more favorable during the mid part of the early start of the season. I actually don't mind this at all. My problem is that Richmond have surprisingly a tougher draw first up than what Brisbane do, who won the flag. Like, if you go look at
Yeah, that's it.
Brisbane's first 8 games, and then you go look at Richmond's first 8 games, and the AFL just really want Richmond to just not succeed, from what I can see. It's actually fucked. So that's the only annoying thing with Nank, but I still think that I can see him leading by example. He's in 3% of teams. He just scored 130 against a negating ruckman, and his team got absolutely destroyed as
Yeah.
well. I really don't hate the pick. I really don't.
I feel
And
like he's one that's getting better with age. Like last year he averaged 110. There
which
was
was his
also a
best?
and there was also a sub affected score in round 19 against the Power there, by the way. He got subbed off on 58. So he didn't start the season off great. He had that purple patch between rounds 10 and 18 until that sub affected round 19 score, and then he came back round 21 against Tristan Cherry and got a 150.
You know what? I might actually just make the trade. Screw it. I'm just gonna go. I need more Richmond players. I need a reason to watch Richmond play, and I think this will be the reason.
And like honestly,
POD. Massive POD. 3%.
yeah, but it's also I feel like don't get him as a POD for the sake of having a POD because everyone like everyone's other lines are gonna make up for it. I feel like this is the most open Supercoach year.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of options out there that, in also in our rookies are all going to be the same. Our rookies are all the same from what I can
Oh
see.
no, nah, I reckon they're still different.
The amount of screenshots that I have received that have O'Driscoll, Tsatsis, and Sheldrick and Nevitt as their last four
I don't
midfielders.
have Nathan O'Driscoll.
See, okay, I know this is a ruck episode, but O'Driscoll had 0 disposals at quarter time and then went 16 disposals in the last 3 quarters and kicked 2 goals. Looked really good. And then he's also, the game before that when he played in the Indigenous All-Stars game was amazing. They've really been talking him up as a breakout.
But at the same time, I don't have him.
Fair enough, fair enough. I'm getting sidetracked. So what do you think of Nang?
What I'm getting at is see how you've just made a point saying, oh, everyone's got the same rookies. And then straight away, I don't. I've seen a lot of teams without Nathan O'Driscoll. So what I'm getting at is don't just pick a bloke for as a POD for the sake of being a POD because the points are going to be made up elsewhere.
That makes sense. I totally agree with that. But I would be personally, I might actually prefer watching Mank than Cherry. I've
Yeah,
got
that's fair.
enough North Melbourne players. I'm okay with it. How much of a difference are they really going to score? Like, I can't see Cherry going 130. I can see Cherry maybe going 115 for the season and then goes 110. I'm okay with
Oh,
that.
I could see Cherry going 120.
Well, that's different. If you can see Cherry going one,
Yeah.
it's different. It's different. I'll play around with it a bit more. Now, your boy. What do you think? Are you going with English or nah?
Tim English, 582K, 8% of teams. I was shocked when I saw 8% at a discounted English. I do understand though with the preseason bump, but I'm flirting with the idea of having English. It's whether that extra 60K I can utilize to make my team better. So at the moment, like with all of this random shit with the Suns and the Essendon stuff, that might end up changing my plans again. But yeah, at the moment he's in, but he could end up coming out again for Tristan Jerry. I can see
I
a bounce
do.
back. I can see a massive bounce back season.
I can see a bounce back season two. It's just that his preseason game didn't scream pick me. And that's my only concern with him.
It's also preseason.
Part of me
Some
kind of wishes that.
players like Tim English, who have just had an interrupted one, just want to get through it unscathed. Because if they get injured in preseason, you know what I mean?
That makes sense. Look, a part of me would love to start Tim English, but the other part of me is like, do I really want to start two risks? So I feel like, okay, I know that we haven't mentioned him yet, but let's be honest, there's another really highly owned player who
Oh,
I
fuck. Are we
feel
jumping to
is
the bottom?
no, I'm just going to say he's just as much of a risk. So I
Yep.
feel like if you're going a safe option like a Cherry or a Gorn, I'm even going to put Nank in there, right? As like a safe guy that you know is going to score 110 for the year, right? You can be a bit more risky and go Tim English R2 or the other guy that we're going to talk about, right? But if you go the other guy at R2, right? And then his mate comes back in the team and you've also got Tim English and Tim English is not fired, you've got now two ruck problems and you're only two spots. And that's the bit that's putting me off Tim English is because I think the other guy's got more scoring potential this season. That's all.
Yep, fair enough. Moving down, Brody Grundy, 574K, 1% of teams. He's been named for opening round. He cleared his test. This guy is one that, again, I've flirted with so many. I'm a ruck slut this year, this preseason, because I flirted with Grundy in my team as well. I even messaged a lot of people saying, hey, how do you guys reckon Grundy will go under a new coach who was one of the best ruckmen in Supercoach history? Like that, he's got Dean Cox coaching him. Dean Cox might be like, just do whatever the fuck you want. Like, and he's in 1% of teams, and he didn't even play that bad last year. His away form, like SCG Grundy was elite. Away form was a little bit, how's it going? But he's had one season with the Swans now, and he might be used to traveling away now. So Swans play at home though, don't they? So it won't be a very good gauge. Oh yeah, they play at the SCG. See, so we're probably gonna get a fucking huge score from Grundy.
Look, yeah, Grundy's a. There's something. It's only 1% of shit. This guy topped the Supercoach scoring in 2018, but it's been a long time since 2018. That's
Correct.
my. That's the problem. His draw's not too bad to start off the year, but he does. He only plays at the SCG 4 times in the first 10 games. So you're banking 4 big games, but then you've probably got a few average ones there too.
So what you're telling me is his back half of the year, like the others, is really good.
Yeah, why is everyone's back half of the year amazing? Yeah, I could see these ruckmen going absolutely off in the back half of the year. Like owning, like that's the thing. Yeah, I could see some really big scores with the. Okay, hear me
Now
out.
I'm more tempted to go the last guy more than
Yeah,
ever. Yeah.
so am I. I'm tempted to go cheapy rucks and then just go bang at the guys that I think are going to go massive towards the end of the year. Oh, tempting, tempting, tempting. But I think that he's got a big second half of the year. I don't think he's got a good draft pitch option because you'll get him late.
Oh, I got him early in one of
Oh,
my
yeah, that's
drafts.
right.
We had a
That's
ruck
right.
run, and I was like, whoop, need a ruck, go Grundy.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I got my draft this weekend.
Oh, we'll move on. Darcy Cameron, 567K, 4% owned. I thought this would be a bit higher considering the amount of articles that people have been writing about this guy saying how he's one of the greatest picks this year.
I think that he's a great pick. Look, all right. He's actually been in and out of my side all season. And
Ooh.
if it wasn't for that stupid buy, he'd probably be in my team, to be honest, as my R1. And I just want to show you his back. And you know how you like to pick a player based on their form at the back half of the season?
Yeah, last 5 to 10 games, yeah.
Yeah, so he didn't. So his buy was in round 15, comes in round 16, scores a 99 against Woodsy, right? Which is not bad. 73 against Essendon. I know, not screaming pick me. But then
Yep.
goes 131, 132, 121, 99, 165, 144, and a 92 when Collingwood could no longer play finals. So there's something there. I do see something there. But in saying that, he scored a whopping 83 points against Vancouver last weekend. So he's not screaming pick me either right now. But
Yep.
he does play this weekend. Let's keep an eye on him. If he goes 130, I'm probably going to switch out Cherry and just suck up the bye.
Yep. just want to note something. So TDK, Cherry, and Timmy English all share the round 12 buy. And what's even worse about that is Port Adelaide also have that buy. So there's going to be so many players out that week.
Yeah, it's true.
So if you've got the Cherry TDK combo, you have fucking no rucks.
I am now looking at my team going, this is bad.
Oh, I did the little, you know, not the optimized, but the other one showing the rounds. And
yeah,
my round 12 is shocking. And now that's why I'm looking at things to rejig. And I know I never pick on buys, but this year, just for the sake of how many Kangaroos players and freaking now I've got how many Port Adelaide players I've got. And then couple that with freaking TDK, I'm like, probably not a good thing.
The thing is, what happens if Pedernet comes back before round 12?
Well, we'll talk about him in a second. Lloyd Meek, 558K, 4% owned. Again, not for me. Not for me.
Safe 105.
I don't think.
You don't think even that?
No, I reckon he'll go up and down.
Since we're at 100, surely.
I don't know.
He averaged 103.5 in his breakout year. You'd think that with Hawthorn getting that little bit better, that he would also have a natural progression.
It's a no from me.
It's a no. No, it's definitely a no. But I can see him improving a little bit, going 105. A very boring pick. I don't see a ceiling there. Like, last year, his best score was 145, and that was against West Coast. And, I mean, honestly, I could score 145 against West Coast.
Not with the man Flynn back.
Oh, no, I meant last year with Bailey Williams.
Oh, yeah. We'll move on. We'll talk about the one of the most talked about ones. Tom De Koning, 547K, 46% owned. After we just spoke about that round 12 buy and whatnot, and then you're saying, well, we don't know when Pitnet's back. This is the thing that scares me with this fucker. So I can see him doing monstrously in the first four, five games, and then Pitnet comes back and then dropping off. But I'm going to be so far behind the eight ball because I didn't have him in those first four or five games.
I can see him going, yeah, his early draws as well. So Carlton actually have a really good first, like, 14, 15 games.
And then imagine if Pitnet has so many soft tissue injuries or something that he never freaking comes back.
Or they just don't pick him.
Yeah, or they don't pick him. Yeah. Like,
there's shit. That too.
And like then you've just faded probably arguably one of the best rucks in the comp.
He had a really good game on the weekend too. A good game on the weekend.
He got taken off at like not even three-quarter time.
I'm willing to take the risk personally, and now I'm swaying towards Darcy Cameron again purely because it will help my round 12 buy structure so much better. But I don't know. I'm picking. Ceiling's fucked.
Yeah,
Pitnet's
his
not
floor
in.
Is fucked though.
You're getting a good month. If you want to kick your season off on a strong note, you've got Richmond round one. I know that Nank is a good player, but he's not in the gating ruckman. Where is it? Hang on.
TDK will keep push forward and kick goals and shit in that game. I can see it happening.
Oh, I can see it happening too. So I still think he's going to score well. I just don't think he's going to have one of those big 150 scores yet. Hawthorn, Dogs, Collingwood, West Coast, North. Honestly, he should score well in all those games. Pitnet could seriously not play in any of them. And then after that, he's got Geelong. If Pitnet doesn't play, he should do well against his brother. I like it. I think that you just have to pick him purely because I probably wouldn't have picked him if Pitnet was playing. If Pitnet was like available, I wouldn't have picked him. But I like the fact that he's not available. So I'm gone. I'm gone.
Okay, Pitnet's only suffered a calf strain.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it won't be. He won't be available until round four or five.
Hopefully, one of many calf strains. is that the thing? Round four or five, he'll be available. But what happens if Carlton are 4-0? Are they going to potentially screw that team up to bring in Pitnet?
I don't know why Voss likes Pitnet so much.
He's actually a very effective tapper. Like if we go away from Supercoach. Right? He actually has a very good tap efficiency.
Oh, I still like TDK.
Oh, I still like TDK overall as a player, yes.
Oh, no, but like he can fucking get clearances himself.
Like, yeah, he's like a big, strong English.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him. I think
you
he's
know
great
who player. Else is big and strong?
Who?
Kieran Briggs, 516K, 1% owned. So he didn't play in the practice match because he fell down with like an illness, like a flu or something. But he ended up playing in the VFL game, I think it was like the next day or something, Try and get some runs on the board. And he's named this weekend. So he's one that I was like flirting with the idea of having as R2. The only problem is early buy again, shit times. But he's just so, I reckon he's going to have a breakout year, honestly. I reckon he's going to go up that next level. He's much fitter. I won't surprise me against Collingwood. And this is what I mean. If he goes up against Darcy Cameron and scores like a 120.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
But he also did go against Darcy Cameron last year and he scored a 109 in opening round. And then,
but he was also unfit and scored a 109.
Man, he broke me in.
He was unfit. Like, his time on ground percentage last year was atrocious.
I picked him ahead of Gorn last year, and that
oh, didn't, yeah, okay.
That was bad. That's bad.
Yeah, so he's much fitter this year. He might have an average game recovering from flu or whatever the fuck he had. But even then, if he comes out and cracks over 100 against Darcy Cameron, I'll be like, holy shit. But then he pretty much has a bye straight away, so.
His finish to the year was actually pretty decent.
Everyone's fucking finish to the year is decent.
No, everyone's last year his finish to the season was good.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
So he actually came home kind of strong. That's what I meant. Actually, how is his start? His start looking into the future is actually okay. He's got West Coast in round four. That's juicy. I'm going to be honest. I actually like the pick. I did bring him in at some point throughout this preseason. I swear I've had like eight different ruckmen at some point though. So don't read too much into it.
Same.
But when De Koning had, so when Pitnet was still playing, I actually didn't have De Koning in my team and I did have Kieran Briggs floating around. but there's just something, like, I think he's a good player and I think he'll score well, but I just don't think that he's going to score well enough to, for you to want to keep him, and he's not cheap enough for you to make enough money for him to be a valued pick. Like, he's not making 100K for you, you know what I mean, at 516. So it's a no for me.
If you're picking someone over 500,000, you're not expecting them to make money. You're expecting them to be a keeper all year.
Exactly. And do you honestly think Kieran Briggs is going to be a guy that you want to have at the end of the year?
Potentially.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then...
But
then
I think it'd be more so consistency, because he doesn't need a large number of disposals to get high scores. He's a tackle machine.
Mm.
And then I think towards the end of last year, he started cracking the double digit. Like, he was getting good disposal counts. Hang on, let's quickly bring him up.
His rebound was actually pretty good last year. So he actually went, so from round, when was his bye? His bye was round 16. So after his bye, he went 139 against West Coast, 102, 139, 122, 130. Is that right? Or am I looking at the wrong season? No. I'm looking at the wrong season. Give me a moment. Sorry. That is my fault.
It was more so round 17 against the Blues is where he started coming good.
There he is. Yeah. So after
148, 122, 88, 111, 86, 106, 113. Yeah. To finish the year. And then he obviously had finals. But like, you look at his disposal count and he's started working into getting those disposals and whatnot. Now, some of his scores, I was like, fuck, why didn't he get triple digits? Like, he actually was cracking the 20 disposal mark at one stage.
Oh, now I'm tempted to bring in Briggs. Now I'm tempted to bring you.
But like, look at this. Starting like, against the Tigers, listen to this. He had the nice triple double. He had 15 disposals, 14 tackles, 32 hit outs. But then you look at it, and his AFL fantasy was 140, and his Supercoach was 122. So obviously he didn't use the...
Yeah,
well, he kicked a goal too. What the fuck?
Yeah, it should have been higher. That should have been a 150 game.
I remember that when he finally kicked a goal because he had the most consecutive behinds or something.
I really like him. Can you imagine starting the season with like Darcy Cameron and Kieran Briggs? Just start the season with them.
I couldn't.
Just, you know, and then just like sucking up the early buys and then just saying, yeah, no, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it either. I don't think he's cheap enough for the value pick, and I see him averaging 105 to 110 maximum, and you'd be very lucky if the average is 110. Very lucky. Well, I can see the other guys like TDK, Cameron, the Cherry, Gorn, potentially going above that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Now, the last two are value picks, so we've got, is it Nick Bryan? Put him on here. I'm pretty sure it's Nick Bryan from 305K, 1% of teams. I was playing him now as my flex.
2% of teams now, by the way. It's gone up.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I was floating him as my flex because I just like the way he plays. The only problem is Sam Draper took a bulk of his CBAs, and I was like, fuck. But he still scored good.
He did still score well, but there's something like, is his spot, what do you think his spot on the side is? Do you think his job security is good? I don't.
I like him as a player, and I reckon Essendon rate him too. And both he and Draper can drift forward.
Look at these seasons. It's just this will be his sixth AFL season, so he is getting to the ruckman age. Yes.
What, how old is he? Like 24, 25?
Supercoach does not tell me this. Give me a moment. Nick Bryan, he is 23. In October, will be 24.
Oh, so
So,
still not quite at the, yeah.
not quite there. He's a big boy, actually,
But
203
actually, in saying that,
centimeters.
I think if he's turning 24 this year,
This year, yeah.
he,
When did
oh, he's, it's his four, he's only played 4 seasons.
No. Are you telling me Wikipedia is lying to me?
Yeah.
No, 2019 National Draft.
Oh, okay. But he got one game in 2021.
Yeah. That's why he
Yeah.
got, and
Okay.
I think he was on the list. Yeah, he was on the list in
Well,
2020.
he screams like a Kieran Briggs random breakout, same price and shit.
He
Yeah.
does, but he's got an early bye,
And it's shit times with the early buy.
and then
Oh,
also
yeah.
305K. Like, are you get? Oh, fuck, can you imagine starting Nick Bryan at R1 and then the other guy at R2?
Disgusting.
Can you imagine? Imagine if they both popped off and they went to average like in the 90s, and then you made enough cash to then go to the
Look
next
like
ruckman.
a fucking genius.
You would look amazing. You would look so smart, but also you would look like an absolute moron. I think I went 1 year. I started. What was his name? The Melbourne ruckman that went to, oh, Stephen Martin. So Stephen Martin was like 158K, and he was my R1. And then I started Lloyd Meek in his rookie year as
Oh,
my
that's
R2.
disgusting.
It was. But you know what? They both had solid starts.
I remember starting Matt Flynn when he was at the Giants, when he was rookie priced at R2, and I looked like a fucking genius. And then all of a sudden he was in, he was out, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, that's the problem with it. You look really good while it's working, and then they just get dropped randomly, and you're like, oh no, what am I going to do? And you
Yeah.
can't trade down because there's nothing below.
Yeah.
You're stuck. You're actually stuck.
You know who is below?
Yeah, I
The
know.
last one on our list, Matt Flynn, 262K, 24% of teams. This Flynn is in. And he's come out and said, mate, just pick me to like all the super coaches out there. He's backing himself in. Remember, he was the number one ruck at the Giants at one stage. The only problem is his injuries. But again, you can have one season where you just, and he doesn't even need to be a keeper. He can literally just be there for 7, 8 rounds and then makes your money and then you trade him off.
But my only concern, this is my only concern, okay? First, he's also never played against Gold Coast, so we don't have any record against the Suns, okay? That just shows how many injuries this guy's had.
Yep.
He's played, his best score ever against Brisbane was an 89, and then he's got Freo, and that's his best score ever is a 78, and it's round three, so Darcy's probably not back yet. Then he got the Giants, who he's never played against, funnily enough, who's going to go up against Kieran Briggs and probably be ragdolled. Then he's got the Blues, who his best scores ever are 98. Might do okay there. Then Essendon, best scores are 63. That's gross. Then he's got a purple patch of Hawthorn, Melbourne, Richmond, St Kilda. So he could do well, but you're waiting until round 10. You're
Yeah.
waiting until round 10 before that purple patch. So I don't think that he actually starts off that amazing. I could see a bunch of flat 80s, 85s from him, which isn't horrible.
80, but again, he's 260 odd.
What's his break even? His break even is 49. So okay, so he could make you 150K. He could make you 150K, I suppose. Maybe 200K. It's not a terrible pick. It's really not a terrible pick. Where are you putting him? Are you putting him in flex?
I wouldn't be putting him in flex. I'd be putting him R2 if I was doing it.
R2, fucking hell, kid. What are you
That's
gonna
if I
say?
had the gonads to do it.
Well, I've heard a few people talking about it, like on a few different podcasts, that are really tempted to go Flynn R2. And in seasons gone by, we have had some pretty shaky R2s. Like, I don't know about you, but I went Wits at R2 in 22. I remember that. He was about 380K, and that was an absolute steal. I've gone Stephen Martin as R1 at 158K. I don't hate it, but are you gonna go out there with TDK and Flynn?
Nah, if I did that, it'd be like Max Gawn or Tristan Cherry with Flynn.
It's not bad, but when TDK goes 150 in round one, you're gonna be really
But it
upset.
depends on how you make up the other money.
So what are you gonna do with it?
Probably put
Hey,
it in defense.
in defense.
Probably put it in defense. Get someone like a Matty Roberts because it's a significant amount of difference in price.
Just realized that I've just turned. I've just all right. I've just all right. Hear me out. I've just got rid of TDK.
Oh, here we go.
All
Oh, I'm
right.
gonna do this shit too.
I just
Hang
need to
on.
say. I just need to say. So I've just gotten rid of TDK.
This is what
And
I
with
was
the
doing.
excess cash, I've been able to turn Paco into Bailey Smith and still have 50 grand in the bank.
I would not be touching, and right now, Bailey Smith.
No. I don't want the pick, but that's just something that you could just do. You could just do that. Like, if you really wanted to, you could just go
I know it's a
bang, Bailey Smith.
Ruckman's potty, but why are you not going Bailey Smith? Because I've been hot on him the whole time until I heard something.
Knee injury. I don't like the fact that he had knee soreness in the knee that he got surgery in. I do not like that at all.
Fair enough. I also had Dangerfield say this on SEN yesterday. He said, "I think he can develop into a very good inside player. We probably won't see as much of that this season, I would have thought. His integration will be gradual. If he can play, he can
Yuck.
play in a raft of different positions." And I'm like,
Yuck.
fuck me. That if Dangerfield's going out there and saying he doesn't think that he's going to be starting off in that midfield mix, which is also something that I've also come out and said Nevitt and Tom Stewart will be in that midfield mix. I'm like, what the fuck?
I did say that. I actually, funnily enough, you know what's funny? I listened to that. Like, I read that, sorry, and I did not. I missed the Bailey Smith thing, and I put Nevitt in my team off the back of that. And I just missed the whole Bailey Smith part.
I know we're on the Ruckman's podcast, everyone that's listening, but I just needed to. I'm now going to be potentially looking at taking Bailey Smith out of my team just based on comments. And honestly, I think he's in like 60 something percent of teams, and if he pops off, I get burned, so be it.
You know what? With that excess cash, I could go Jaden Short, who I absolutely despise. In a Supercoach perspective, I could go Matt Roberts in defense. I could go Harry Perryman.
There's so much that you could do with that. And this is why I've been flirting with the idea of having Flynn at R2.
And Joel Frazier as well. You get Joel Frazier at 370K. Oh my God. And then I still have 100K in the bank. Oh my God. I don't. Why do I not hate this?
And the
Ew.
beauty of it is everyone's talking about putting Flynn at flex. The thing about it, your flex is there. If your flex pops off and Flynn doesn't do well, it doesn't really matter.
No, I've just got Flynn on the field. I'm just putting Flynn
Well,
straight.
flex is
Sorry,
still.
not Flynn. Frazier. Sorry, Frazier just on the field. Got Nevitt as my Flynn.
No, I've got Frazier on the field too.
Do you think
He's
Frazier's going to
locked
go
in.
off this season?
Oh shit, yeah.
You think he's going to go off?
I've had him locked and loaded at D4.
I have him at D5 at the moment.
I have him at D4, but that extra cash could end up pushing him to D5.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's the extra cash. It's like. Is so good. I've still got 100K. I don't even know what to do with
Okay, randomly, I'm just going to scream out my defenders at the moment. I know
it.
it's a Ruckman's potty, everyone, shut the fuck up.
Okay. Yeah. Defenders,
So,
go. Go.
Sheasel,
Yep.
Jordan Clark, Tom Stewart now with the no buy, Frazier, then it's Zach Reid, James Leake, Ben Payton. Is it Luke Traynor?
Luke, I think it's Luke Donnie, yeah.
Yeah, that's so they're my four rookies.
Okay.
Ben
All right.
Payton's confirmed as playing this weekend too, I'm pretty sure.
Ben Payton, where's he playing? Where's he been?
Swans
No,
defense.
where's he been named? Sorry.
Don't know. Actually, let's quickly.
Ooh, halfback. He's been named in the halfback line. Oh, that's tempting. What, is Ben Payton a defender? Is defender listed?
He'd be like that intercept running off, I'd say. Oh, is the Lizard not playing? Oh, no, the Lizard's playing. He's not going to score a shit ton, but he's just going to be solid. Might
Oh,
get be like a 60s guy, but that's all you need.
you could have him in your forward line. He's a forward mid. He's a forward defender. So I'm just going to put Ben Payton in my forward line now. Thank you. Okay, so this is my defense that I'm just going to randomly scream out to you. It is, I got to hit save because it was in the wrong order. It is Harry Sheasel, Lachie Whitfield, Jordan Clark, Naish Wangadeen-Nollera, Joel Frazier. I don't know Leak, James Leak.
Yep.
Zach Reed, Luke Traynor. That's my defense. That's my back line right now.
That's with Matt Flynn, though.
That's with Matt Flynn in the ruck line. I've also got Ben Patton now in my forward line. And the thing is, guess this, get this, I've still got 83K I don't know what to do with.
And you don't have Bailey Smith in your team currently, do you?
No, no, I haven't had Bailey Smith for the second that he went down with injury and he was not named in that practice game, he out of my team. There's no way. And soreness in the knee that he had surgery on, it kept him out of the game for 12 months? Absolutely not.
Let me guess. Then, you picked a Hugo Garcia in his place.
Oh, man. Hugo Garcia's been in my team for like 2-3 weeks before
fucking
that.
Called out.
So good. I honestly knew the second that Philippou got injured, I actually put Garcia and Hutchinson in the spot and just like was tossing up between the two. Hutchinson did not have a good game on the weekend. No, so Garcia's got to be. He didn't score great, right? But remember that because there were more players playing, the amount of points that were distributed had to be distributed between more players. So everyone's scores went down. So in reality, Garcia was probably in the early 80s reality in a normal game. And that was in a game that got mauled and he didn't use the pill very well. Okay.
Yeah.
He's got the role. Anyway, that's a forward.
We'll stop it there because we need you to go get your dogs and shit.
You sold me. I got Flynn at R2. Fuck it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm probably not even going to pick him, mate.
Do you know what? You're not even going to pick him? Nah, I
probably
think I'm
not.
You know what? And then I'll just go TDK R1 just for fun. And I have 200K I don't know what to do with.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. All right, Pete, how can people find you?
You find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of those things. Sorry, X, YouTube, Spotify, all of them are Nerds, the number 4 Life SC for Supercoach. And I'll be posting all my crying videos after I completely fuck my season picking Deconning and R1 and R2.
And you can find me at DaneOsCCC. You can find us, the Supercoach Co-Captains, on Facebook. Just type that in. We just chuck up podcasts. We might have to do some other content or some shit to try and at least compete with other potties. I don't know what the fuck we'd do, though. But anyway, so from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I am Dano.
And I'm Peter.
And this is us signing
the fuck off.
Flynn is in.